Most people think of stalkers as strangers in the shadows, someone lurking behind bushes or obsessing from a distance. But what happens when the stalker isn't hiding? When she smiles at you over Sunday dinner, kisses your cheek, and calls you sweetheart as she tightens the screws on your life? Jenna thought meeting her boyfriend's mom was just a rite of passage. She didn't expect Linda, a perfectly poised, charismatic woman in her 50s, to have surveillance cameras hidden in teddy bears, or to show up at her job pretending to just be in the area. She definitely didn't expect her underwear to go missing, or to find voice recordings of her own bedroom whispering secrets she never said out loud. But the worst part isn't the stalking. It's the twisted emotional web Linda is spinning. Because Linda doesn't just want Jenna gone. She wants her son back, to when he was hers, completely. And she's willing to cross every psychological and moral boundary to make that happen. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The perfect woman always knocks first. Jenna had always been good at reading people. It's why she succeeded in corporate PR. Smiles, small talk, vibes. Her boyfriend Ryan always said she had a sixth sense for knowing when someone was fake. Which is why she hated how much she liked Linda the first time they met. Linda opened the door to her suburban home like a TV mom. Blonde bob bouncing, apron on. Kitchen filled with the scent of cinnamon and lemon cleaner. Her hug was warm. Her laugh effortless, and she called Jenna darling, as if she'd been waiting her whole life to meet her. That first dinner was perfect. Ryan was relaxed. Jenna felt included. Linda asked about her career, praised her for being independent, and even offered her late husband's wine. He only brought it out for special occasions, she'd said, eyes moist. But something didn't sit right. It was in the way Linda looked at Ryan when he didn't pass her the salad fast enough, or how she touched his arm. Too long, too often. A strange electricity passed between them, veiled by smiles. Then came the first violation. It was subtle. A week after their visit, Jenna returned to her apartment and found her drawer slightly open. Nothing stolen, just moved. Underwear folded wrong. A bra clasped the opposite way. She brushed it off. Maybe she was being paranoid. But then she found the lipstick, a shade she didn't own, pressed against her bathroom mirror. Ryan insisted she was imagining things. Maybe it's old, left from before you moved in. But Jenna had cleaned everything herself. That mirror was spotless. Until now. The next week, a teddy bear showed up on her bed. She thought Ryan had left it as a gift. He swore he didn't. Jenna shook it, lightweight, no tag. She nearly threw it out, but something told her to open the seam. Inside, a micro camera. She dropped it. "You think this is funny?" she screamed at Ryan. "If this is some sick prank." But Ryan looked stunned. "What the hell is that?" They fought. And for the first time, Jenna saw a side of him that scared her. Not violent, but uncertain. Like a little boy who didn't know whether to defend his mother or believe his girlfriend. The next day, Jenna found Linda parked across from her office, smiling. "Oh, sweetheart," she waved, rolling down the window. "I was just in the area, shopping at Whole Foods. Thought I'd surprise you with some muffins." "I'm working," Jenna said flatly. "You shouldn't be here." Linda's smile didn't fade. "You're not eating right, are you? Ryan told me. I was just worried." Jenna didn't take the muffins. She walked away, but she felt it. That hot prickle of eyes on her back, watching. She bought a lock for her bedroom door. She changed her work route. But then came the recordings. It started as a low hum in her Bluetooth earbuds, then whispering. She checked her phone. No app, no file. She recorded it. That night, while replaying the audio, she realized it was her own voice, saying things she'd said in the privacy of her room, talking to Ryan about fears, doubts, intimate things, and another voice, faint, breathing, chuckling. Linda's voice. Ryan refused to believe it. You think my mom bugged your room?
Yes, Jenna shouted. And this isn't new. That camera, the bear, the lipstick. She's in our lives, Ryan, watching us.
Ryan looked devastated.
She's grieving. My dad died 3 years ago.
You don't know what she's like when she's alone.
She's obsessed with you, Jenna said. This isn't grief. This is possession.
They took a break, and that's when Linda escalated. Jenna's boss called her in. A woman emailed HR with intimate photos of you and claims of unethical behavior. The photos were real, taken inside her bedroom, mid-conversation, mid-sex. Nothing criminal, but humiliating. Jenna knew who did it. She tried to file a police report.
Do you have proof it was her?
The officer asked. Jenna stared. She's stalking me. She planted a camera, sent emails to my job.
Can you prove she planted it? Any witnesses?
Nothing. The teddy bear was gone. The lipstick wiped off. The recording couldn't be authenticated.
She's smart, Jenna whispered to herself. She's not just stalking me. She's destroying me. Quietly.
Then, one night, Jenna came home to find the front door unlocked. The air inside was floral. Too clean. She checked the bedroom. Her underwear drawer was empty. Every single piece. Gone. Chapter 2. Seduction by Proxy. Jenna moved out. She didn't tell Ryan, didn't leave a note. She turned off location tracking, closed her social accounts, and booked a long-term rental across the city. She needed space to think. And most of all, to watch. Because while Linda thought Jenna was gone for good, Jenna was about to turn the tables. She hired a tech investigator, a woman named Brielle. Tattoos, high ponytail, ex-cybercrime unit. People like Linda, Brielle said, don't see what they're doing as wrong. They see it as protection. From me, Jenna scoffed. From anything that threatens her control. Brielle swept Ryan's condo, hidden mics in the baseboards. Two in the ceiling fan, another inside the headboard.
She's listening to everything.
Jenna asked the hardest question.
Why him? Why her son?
Brielle answered without blinking.
It's not about sex. It's about intimacy, emotional ownership. She doesn't want to sleep with him. She wants to consume him.
That night, Brielle installed a trap, a dummy camera feed with traceable metadata. All Jenna had to do was wait. And sure enough, within 48 hours, the IP pinged from Linda's address. Jenna went to the police, again. This time, with a tech expert, chain of custody documentation, and digital footprints. Restraining order was filed. Linda was warned. But the damage wasn't done, because Ryan had changed. He showed up at Jenna's door. Not angry, worse, broken. She said you lied. That you fabricated all of it to isolate me, that you hacked your own apartment to blame her.
And you believe that? Jenna asked.
Ryan looked at the floor. She raised me alone. She was my everything. That's the problem, Ryan. Then he said the one sentence Jenna feared most. She said she's sick.
Sick how?
Cancer, stage 4. Jenna didn't believe it, but Ryan cried like it was real.
I have to be there for her, he said.
She's dying. That's when Jenna snapped.
Ryan, she's not dying. She's killing us. That's the sickness.
But he was already gone. Linda had won. Or so she thought. Because a week later, Jenna got a call from Brielle.
You need to see this.
She played a surveillance clip. Linda, in her own home, rehearsing a scene. Bald wig, makeup, tears, practicing phrases.
I'm so tired. I'm scared to die alone. I just want to make peace.
It was all fake. Jenna uploaded it, anonymously, sent it to Ryan. He didn't reply, for 2 days, then a knock. It was Ryan, silent, shaking, a flash drive in hand. She tried to seduce me, he said. Said she missed our closeness, that I reminded her of Dad, that I was still her little man. Then she touched me. Jenna pulled him inside. Ryan collapsed in sobs.
She needs help.
No, Jenna said. She needs to be exposed. They gave everything to Brielle, recordings, emails, the video. She compiled it into a full psychological abuse report, sent it to authorities. A case was opened for stalking, defamation, and unlawful surveillance. But Linda didn't flee. She called a press conference, claimed she was the victim of digital harassment, that Jenna had orchestrated a deepfake campaign to ruin her family. The world split down the middle. Some believed Linda. Others were horrified. Jenna received death threats. Then one night, silence. Linda vanished. No forwarding address, no goodbye. But she left one last gift. In Jenna's mailbox, a single Polaroid of Jenna sleeping, taken just 2 nights prior.